Hi, we're here today with Andy Green of Tech Talk. And if you don't know Tech Talk, you're missing out on something wonderful. What is Tech Talk? Tech Talk is a no-nonsense, unbiased view and review of various technical tools and technical processes that internet marketers use. And anybody that's been doing internet marketing for more than 3 minutes knows that we are a very tool-dependent industry. And having the right tool and the not-so-right tool and the wrong tool can really make the difference between, you know, massive success and massive frustration. The challenge for internet marketers is so much of the tool talk that takes place on the internet is highly biased. People often will only talk about tools that they're receiving huge commissions on selling. Some of these tools are insanely expensive, overpriced. Some of them, many of them, I would say, don't deliver anywhere near what they promise. So where is an internet marketer supposed to go to get a straight answer to what tool to use for what purpose? And the answer is Andy Green and Tech Talk. We're very, very pleased to have him today. Andy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ken. How about yourself?
Great. And I asked, Andy puts out every month podcast of research focused around a specific topic within our industry of internet marketing. And these things are amazing. I mean, they will save you so much time just in research alone. If you just use them for research and nothing else, they'd save you hours and hours and hours. But you also get pushed in the right direction of, you know, what's a good value? What really works? What are the advantages to this tool? What are the disadvantages? You know, the whole 360-degree angle analysis of a tool, not just the good stuff, but the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is what we all need, really, when we're looking at tools. So every month, Andy does one of these reviews, and it's great. And I asked him if for December, he could do a year in review. And we're going to go month by month, each topic. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover the entire content of every month, otherwise we'd be here for 12 hours or 11 hours, but we're going to do a survey of what happened this year in internet marketing tools month by month, starting with January. So Andy, let's start with January. What was your topic on January, and can you give us some of the big highlights of what you discovered?
Sure. What's funny about January is it's kind of, we've come back around to it in December, interestingly enough. The challenge that I was facing in January, I'm seeing it again in December, so it tells me it's a very important problem in digital marketing because a lot of people are facing it. And what January was about, the line I wrote down was why attribution may be the most important word in your business in 2016. And what I meant was keeping track of what's working and what's not working in your business, specifically your marketing, is what's going to make your business even more valuable in 2016, 2017, 2018. You know, for a while, you could get by by kind of looking at your marketing and going, oh, okay, it's kind of doing this, kind of doing that. But what I talked about in January was you really need to define and track these things. And whenever I say this to someone, they always nod their head approvingly and say, yes, of course, of course. But then when you dive into their business, into their Google Analytics, for example, they aren't tracking these things. You know, in your business, what does it mean to win? Yes, we all want to make more money, but how do we keep track of that? You know, what are the rules of the game? How are the points scored? You know, are you in a lead gen business, an e-commerce business? How do you track those things? And can you show me a report of those things that you're tracking? Because what I find is when someone says, Andy, my marketing's not working, or Facebook ads don't work, or Google AdWords ads don't work for me, I can already detect they're not tracking everything they need to, because if they were tracking, we'd have some data on what happened. We could say, what specifically about Google AdWords didn't work? What specifically about Facebook didn't work? So the reason attribution is the most important word in your business in 2016 is how do you know that an ad contributed money to your bottom line versus one that didn't? You need to cut the ones that didn't, keep the ones that did. And this sounds very simple, and people nod their head, but how do you actually implement this in your business? And that's what I talked about in that January call. So if you're interested in, you know, a lot of specifics on how do I keep track of all these things, how do I tie this all in for my business, that January call is a good one to listen to. But bottom line, assign credit to the ads and then cut the losers, keep the winners.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that. You know, last year we did a fundraiser for the family of Michael Marshall. Mike Marshall, our great friend and the great SEO guy who tragically passed away at a very young age. And I asked a lot of our colleagues, hey, would you get together and we're going to put on an event, virtual event. And many people contributed. It was great. And one of them was Perry Marshall. And I think we had a lot of great people in the series. And I think one point Perry made that was the most important was what you just said. He said, look, you got to know what's working and what's not working, or you just can't move forward. And if you know what's working, you're able to buy more precisely, even potentially pay more for advertising in certain specific cases where you know something's working. And unless you're able to do those things, you really can't compete anymore. I mean, I wish it was the old days when you could just throw a dart at the board and you'd hit something, but it's not like that anymore. You really do have to be pretty impressive in your marketing and advertising these days to start something new or to keep it growing on the internet. So it was very interesting that one of the best calls of the Superstar series we had last year and the best comment he made is exactly what you just said for your January call. So you're right on line with that. What was the February call? What was that all about?
It was about Google AdWords, and I was covering some of the updates, Google AdWords at the time. Google AdWords, again, has changed since February, so I'll kind of give an even more updated summary now. Essentially, Google AdWords is winner-take-all anymore, which means when you're trying to run advertising on Google, you either have to be the best or you really shouldn't play at all. And that kind of scares people when they hear me say that, but the reason why is that top ad, when you type in a search into Google and you see an ad, that top ad is receiving most of the traffic, whereas everybody else is basically fighting for the scraps. And again, that's a sentiment Perry Marshall has said for years. And he's 100% right. My data shows that bearing out even more so now. With most searches I'm seeing coming from mobile, there's less screen real estate, so there's even fewer people that can compete. So you have to be just the absolute best at Google AdWords. So in that call, I talked about a couple of things. One of them was, I believe, and based on the data I have since this point as well, has confirmed this, reputation is starting to play a big part in Google AdWords. And what I mean by that is, if you're selling products online, having those 5-star reviews, having good consumer feedback that Google can see is very important. Google, across all their product lines, is really pushing reputation. They're really pushing social feedback. And you have to mind that, because sometimes we think of only the revenue and the optimizing of the campaign, but we have to remember, okay, we need to make sure our reputation is good out there. We're not getting a lot of bad reviews. Whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter on the internet. They show up anyways. So, it's a winner-take-all atmosphere in AdWords. You got to mind your reputation. And what I figured out this year is, I was running several AdWords campaigns, and I know a little to a medium amount about AdWords compared to some people. And I finally just hired a pro to do it for me. A guy that Perry Marshall recommends, his name's Mike Rhodes. He's in Australia. And if anyone is doing AdWords and is frustrated, at least talk to Mike, even if he doesn't run your campaigns, at least get some consulting from him, because he's in there all day, every day. He manages something like $15 million worth of ad spend. And AdWords has literally become so complex. If you're not doing it all the time, it's the only thing you're doing, you're going to have trouble winning in that winner-take-all environment.
Well, that's such an important lesson, because there's a lot of material out there that just casually says, oh, buy AdWords.
And exactly. And just that's put some money in that slot machine. Exactly. It's not too hard. You can do it too. Yep.
Yeah. And there's a whole industry of people making their living guiding people that way. And that's great if you're one of the people getting paid a fee to do that. And it's certainly great for Google. It's not great for advertisers and business owners. This is such important advice here. If you're going to play in that particular sandbox, you have to go in with the intention of being number one. Now, number one doesn't mean, let's use the great case of weight loss, because it's just such a great example of how segmenting markets work. Being number one for weight loss in general, you might as well forget it. But if you can find a very specific slice of that market and stake out your territory in that slice, weight loss. I mean, I'm giving a ridiculous example, but weight loss for firefighters. Okay, you may not be able to win weight loss, but you have a chance at winning weight loss for firefighters, because maybe nobody else is fighting over it. So that's another thing to think about when you're looking at Google AdWords. You probably can't win the whole enchilada, but you might be able to do very well in a carefully defined niche within a bigger market. So great. We just saved somebody $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, maybe $50,000 in wasted time, money, and effort with that advice. So thank you very much, Andy. So how about March?
So in March, I talked a little bit more about attribution like I had in January, but the reason I brought it up is, and this is just a general point about Tech Talk, over the years, one of the ways that Tech Talk has evolved is I've started to talk more and more about the things I've done that have failed. And a lot of marketing material that I consume, they never talk about their failures. You only see the bright, shining successes. And I find the failures are more valuable to look at because you can just avoid what I did because I already did it and found out it didn't work. And one of the things I figured out in March was, you need to be making your decisions in your business on the real metrics. And what I mean by that is oftentimes people will take it to the water's edge and they'll say, okay, here's my cost per lead. Here's my expected revenue per lead. And they don't track all the way through offline. And the old school direct marketers will be shuddering hearing me say that. But it's sometimes very tough to do online advertising and then to track it easily and properly offline. Now, though, in Facebook and in Google, they have ways for you to let Google and Facebook both know what happened offline via call tracking. You can upload spreadsheets back into Google and say, hey, Google, that click from 2 months ago, that person actually ended up booking a package with me offline, and it was worth $50,000. So in the March call, I talk about closing the loop. Get all that good offline data that you have and push it back to your online traffic sources, because otherwise you're making decisions on metrics that are good but aren't the best ones. You may think, oh, wow, this is going to be a great lead, but that person never actually bought offline. And in most businesses, there's usually some sort of offline component where a sale can happen. And if you don't track that data and tie it in with your online data, you'll be beat by competitors that do that closed-loop tracking.
Great, great. So, again, this theme keeps coming up again and again. Tracking. And so in your calls, you actually suggest methods and tools for achieving these tracking methods.
Yes. So the one problem with this, Ken, is some of this tracking stuff can be very technical. And I realize that's the reason a lot of people don't have it fully implemented. So what I do in these calls a lot of times, they talk about things I've done that haven't worked and then things I've done that do work. And then I point to some resources, some tools where they can start doing it. Because my whole thing is you don't have to get it 100% right to start, but let's at least improve from where you are. Even if you're 5% better this time next year from where you were, a tracking perspective, that's a win. Some people see this and they get overwhelmed and say, oh, my God, there's all this technical stuff I have to plug in to do this 100% right. My whole thing is let's at least get a little better, and then we can improve from there.
Great. It seems like a simple piece of advice, but we all get tangled up in that. We all feel that, now that I know what I should do, I should be able to execute it 100% immediately. And gosh, that would be great if that were the case. But what you can execute 100% immediately is a step forward, right? And then once you've got that, then you can think about the next step and the next step. So you kind of need to know what the end in mind is, and that's great. But then you need to break it down into very small steps. I heard this great thing this year. Maybe everybody else has heard this, but I never heard it before. We tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in a month, but we tend to underestimate what we can accomplish in a year. So it's a mental trick that we've got to play on ourselves to have that long-term goal out there and then break it up into little pieces and focus on the little pieces and not get overwhelmed. And believe me, this is a challenge for me every day of the week. So if you're having trouble with it, it's not just you, it's the human condition. And as Earl Nightingale used to say, everybody's got problems. Successful people are the people who figured out how to solve their problems. So we've all got these challenges. But what Andy touched on is so important. I hope you'll take it to heart. All right, so that was March. What happened in April?
April was about website speed. And I've probably talked about this 3 or 4 times over the past 5 years in Tech Talk. But the reason I keep coming back to this is when people come to me and they show me their websites, I keep finding websites that load slowly, especially on mobile phones. And I just keep saying to people over and over again, I don't mean to be a broken record, but if your website is not loading quickly, you might as well not even have a website, because the amount of mobile phones, the amount of mobile traffic you're getting, if it doesn't load quickly, they're gone. They're leaving. They're bouncing from your website. So that call is about speed kills. And I go into specific steps on how to get your website loading quickly. I won't go into them now because it's a pretty detailed process. But essentially what I do is I show you that this doesn't have to be an overly technical process, but you need to either invest the time yourself or you need to get someone to help you do it. It's that important, because everything else you're doing doesn't work if someone comes in your store and immediately leaves. So that it's so important anymore. And I take websites and I put them through speed test tools and they load slowly. So I know it's still a huge problem out there.
And anybody, I've been early, but in a way I've been slow. In other words, on this mobile thing, we had a mobile marketing speaker, I think as early as 2008. And I was coached Kim Duszynski in writing the very first book on mobile marketing called, maybe it was called Mobile Marketing. I can't remember the name of it, but it was the first book out. So I was quick to see the potential. I have to admit I've been slow to act on it. And the numbers, I would say, I think they've always been big, but I think in 2016, the numbers are now overwhelming. If you have not made your peace with mobile, this is something you just have to do. Because we have sites where 50% plus of the traffic is coming from mobile. And if you're not optimized for mobile, if you've got slow server speed, as Andy talked about, you're dead. It's just that simple. We discovered that we had a lot of junky legacy code because we got some old sites, you know, and we keep tinkering with them and adding features here and there. And we actually had our programmer go through and just get rid of junk that, you know, sort of like a closet or an attic that was just full of rubbish, code rubbish, and instant improvement on speed. So simple thing, but, you know, Andy's telling you right, and let's all make sure that 2017 is the year that we take care of this basic thing. Great. So the month of May.
Month of May, spring was coming. It was about Facebook campaigns and growing Facebook campaigns. And something you'll notice if you've been a longtime listener of Tech Talk is that I'll come back to topics. And a lot of people in the marketing space like to cover new ground all the time, new bright shiny objects. I'm more of a fan on doing the things that work and coming back to them and providing updates, because I find, you know, I'll talk about something the first time and someone might not get it, but that second or third time, the light bulb turns on. So Facebook is definitely one of those areas where it is so complex, it's become as complex as Google AdWords, and people go to run ads on it and they're just scared to death. I don't even know what to do. And what I found via a lot of testing on Facebook ads is the interface can be very confusing on what to do, but the old rule of direct marketing of know thy audience is so true on Facebook. If you don't have your audience dialed in right, or your offer is not appropriate for that audience, I don't care what trick you do on Facebook with bidding or what your relevance score is or what cool image you use to get a lot of clicks, it doesn't work. And when I see a campaign of my own that's not working and I really drill into it, I realize it's usually the offer and it's usually my audience targeting that's off. Now, Facebook has some really neat ways now, and I cover this in that call, to help you find your audience. They have so much data on people that they can target people very specifically. But it's all for naught if you in general don't have your audience really tied in. And what most people do is they'll say, oh, my audience is 35 to 50-year-old men. And that's great. And that's an old school way of looking at who your audience is. But unless you dig into your Google Analytics and really look at, you know, geographically, where is my audience located? What device are they coming from? Unless you can really answer those type of questions, you really don't know who your audience is, because those customer segments, certain customer segments are way more profitable than others. And unless you have a really dialed in audience on a Facebook campaign, you won't be able to scale, which is essentially the idea of any Facebook campaign. Get it to critical mass so you get a lot of traffic and then get a lot of sales.
Wow. I just republished an article on this very topic called Following Fads is Not a Strategy. And you can find it on the kenmccarthy.com blog. And I don't know if you've seen this ad. It's very funny. It's I forget who put it out there. Cisco, maybe. Adobe Marketing Cloud. And these two guys are in an elevator, and these two hipsters come in. These two corporate guys are in the elevator, and then two hipsters come in, and one hipster says to the other, "Hey, are you on Woo Woo?" And the other hipster goes, "Yeah, man, everybody's on Woo Woo." And then the hipsters leave, and the two corporate guys are like, "Oh my God, we got to get on Woo Woo." And the rest of the commercial is them frantically, you know, trying to get a Woo Woo channel going. And then the hipsters are on the elevator again, and the guy goes, "Hey, you still on Woo Woo?" And the guy goes, "Nah, nobody's on Woo Woo anymore. Just my grandma."
It's so funny. It's one of my favorite commercials, Ken, because I've experienced that dealing with marketing agency in the real world. They're so obsessed with shiny objects.
Andy gave you the antidote to that, which is drill down and become very precise about who your customers are. Once you know that, you know what offer to make, what front-end offer to make. You know what media to buy. You know, if grandma's on Woo and you want to sell crochet kits, well, then get on Woo Woo, you know? but so many things in marketing that seem complicated and confusing and keep you up at night are solved when you have a crystal clear picture of who your buyers are. You know, what sex are they? What age are they? Where do they live? What media do they consume? What do they worry about? What do they hope for? And it's surprising how many people will take a mechanistic view to marketing and ignore all those things and just go out and buy a lot of traffic and try to convert it. And they're doing everything mechanically perfectly. They're just missing the point of the whole exercise, which is targeted communication, not using the shiny object that just got invented, but figuring out, okay, who really is my target for this? Where are they? And what specifically do I have to put in front of them to get the maximum response? And that brings us to June.
The June call covered several things, but the point I'll highlight is about email leads. And this is actually an extension of the point of the prior call, where there seems to be this fanboy attitude when it comes to traffic sources of, I run Google AdWords, I run Facebook, and people argue back and forth about it. But as you just talked about, Ken, it's more about where your audience is. So if your audience is on both platforms, you should probably buy traffic from them. And one of the things that gets forgotten is email in this whole mix. Now, I'm not talking about email autoresponders here. I'm talking about people who have giant email lists that mail out to them and using that as a traffic source for your own business. So buying email leads, essentially someone clicks a button on an email itself and then they're opted into your list. It's like a co-registration lead or an email lead. And I tested this out in a couple different verticals I'm in, and it doesn't work in every vertical. I'm not going to say it's the magic traffic source, but what was interesting to me was there were some really quality leads and the cost per lead was less than Facebook. I was kind of shocked. You know, I was getting leads on Facebook for $10 cost per lead, and on email I was getting about $4 cost per lead. And I never would have thought of that. So I found a totally different traffic source, and I don't see any of the big gurus talking about the strategy, probably because they can't make affiliate commissions, to your point, Ken. And it was pretty neat. And the service I used, I'll just highlight this service, it was a company called Opt Intelligence. They're basically I'll call it a broker, where they have a platform where you can get in front of these big email lists and you can build subscribers for your list. So if you have a financial newsletter yourself, you can get in front of audiences that read financial news via their email. So it's a great, you know, totally different strategy that you probably haven't heard about. And for certain businesses, it's just gangbusters for lead generation.
Great. Opt Intelligence. And, you know, before the internet, sponsored mailings, having your ad sent to somebody else's mailing list, physical mailing list, was the ultimate. You know, it was the best way to generate quality traffic in the world. And yet it's funny how we've lost sight of that with all the bells and whistles. I see a trend developing here, right? Bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my article on the woo-woo thing, I compared internet marketing to a chainsaw, which is, if you use it correctly, it's amazing. Like, you can do all kinds of things really fast. But you better handle it correctly, you know, or a chainsaw will be your worst enemy. And I think internet marketing tools are that way. It's true. They are amazing if you're using the right tool at the right time to the right audience in the right way. But if you're not, it will be trouble, I can almost say. And so if you get nothing else from this call today, just realize that, you know, all these stories you're hearing about miraculous marketing tools, you need to look into them a lot deeper. There's really no such thing as the tool creating the success. It's having very specific knowledge about the audience and the tool and fusing those together that makes the difference. And it takes some thinking and some planning. And as Andy pointed out, he doesn't even mess with AdWords anymore. He's got somebody he calls in whenever one of his clients or one of his projects needs AdWords, because it's just too hard I'm not going to say amateurs. That's not really the right word. It's too hard for a non-professional who's not a professional AdWords guy 24/7 to deal with it anymore. You know, there was a time when you really could throw, spaghetti on the ceiling and it would stick, you know. It's a very, very, very rare niche where that will work anymore. And now it takes sophistication. And if you know your market and you're getting strong indication that something like AdWords is the right tool for that market, then your next stop really is to talk with an expert. And Andy, if you gave us one that he likes to talk with and get consulting from, and you can listen to the call again to get his name. So we're into July, the 4th of July.
Exactly. And I'll go over, Mike Rhodes is the guy, Ken. I'll go over that again, because actually July's call was kind of about this topic. July's call is about outsourcing traffic generation. And this was a story of a failure that I had that people should learn from. Before I outsourced to Mike Rhodes for AdWords, I actually outsourced to another guy that came via a LinkedIn recommendation. And this guy seemed to have pretty real credentials. He had some good clients. I talked with the clients. They were pleased. So I hired him on one client account. And we got traffic, I'll say, from AdWords. But I wasn't seeing the conversions I needed to. And I thought, maybe there's something wrong with our funnel. So I split tested our funnel, and still, no, it wasn't quite working. So I talked with this guy, and he assured me, oh, everything's being done. He's spending tons of time in the account. He's doing all these things. And it's always a red flag for me, by the way, when someone says they're spending a ton of time on something. If they're an expert, I would hope they've hired people to scale their business, or that they would have gotten down to a science. But just a ton of time consistently on something is always a red flag for me, because I think they're always compensating for something, is what I'll say. They're trying to hide the fact that they're not actually doing work. So what I did was, after a couple of months, I'm going, okay, this isn't going the way I think it should. You know, I don't know a ton about AdWords, but this guy is just not giving me the whole story. So that's when I called in Mike, and I just had Mike look at the account. First of all, I wasn't even considering hiring Mike just yet. Mike, can you just look at this account and tell me something's going on? And Mike had a laundry list of things that were wrong with the account. Just in an hour call, I probably got 45 different items of things that weren't right about the account. And I thought I knew a lot about AdWords, and I thought the guy I hired knew a lot about AdWords. But then Mike, who's world-class at this, is just coming in and just finding all these problems and all these issues. And then once I switched it over to Mike and his team, they totally redid the campaign. Our traffic went way up. Cost per lead went way down. And I was like, wow, that's the difference between working with a true expert and someone who pretends to be an expert. And I'm pretty good at sussing these things out. So what about the person who's never really done AdWords before? That's what's so scary about it. There's all these people who trumpet themselves as AdWords experts, but they don't really know what they're doing. So in that tech talk, I really talk about the metrics to look at. Do they perform or not? Using a test period with outsourcers to determine if they're the real deal or not. And also, you know, pay for world-class people is what I've kind of figured out. You know, the other guy might have been a little cheaper, but I wasn't getting nearly as good a results as I did with Mike. So that's what that call's about. It's a lot of things I did wrong that you can just learn from and skip ahead and gain from.
Great. It's fitting that July is the month that Independence Day takes place, because once you learn this process. And again, it's simple, but it's not easy. Once you learn this process of getting the right person for the right job or the right expert for the right job, you really do become a lot more independent. You can just hand it over to somebody and know that it's going to be covered correctly. This thing about speed is really interesting. The best haircut I ever got in my life was in Puebla, Mexico, the city of Puebla, Mexico. Old guy, he's got, had to be in his 70s. And he cut my hair in like 3 minutes flat. and best haircut I ever had. No talking. We couldn't talk because my Spanish wasn't good enough at the time. He just knew what the heck he was doing. And competence is often reflected in speed. Speed isn't the only issue. I mean, if it were a bad haircut, that would have been no good. But yeah, when somebody's taken forever to do something, or they tell you how hard something is, or how complicated it is, or how long it takes, maybe they just don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, we're at their, you know, we don't have to be at their mercy because we can look for other vendors. But you know, you don't know. That's why you're going to the expert. That's why you're going to the vendor. And we just have to be skeptical. Ted Nicholas, the great print direct marketing print advertiser, once said to me that in his experience, only 1 out of 10 vendors who looked good. We're not talking about 1 out of 10 vendors in general. We're talking about 1 out of 10 vendors who looked good upon, you know, with some examination. Only 1 out of 10 of them were worth a damn, he said. And you have to just find out by testing them. And that was his rule of thumb, that if he found 10 that looked good and, you know, did the preliminary due diligence and, you know, those 10 looked worth trying, he was only going to find one that was really, truly capable and competent. I think that's true for employees. I think that's true for vendors. I think it's true for suppliers. I think it's true for everything. And, you know, at the beginning of the call, I said that, you know, we're a tool-dependent industry, and the difference between the right tool and the wrong tool can be life and death. And it's true with vendors, and it's true with employees. I'm sure there are heads nodding out there. Anybody that's ever hired an employee that you know, did less than work out well, knows, you know, what a bad effect that can have on your forward movement. So it's great. So the July call, Andy shares his experiences and what he learned and how he now goes about finding people. Okay, so now we're into August.
August was about a gem that I found via my Facebook ad rep. And if you spend enough money on Facebook, they give you a rep. And usually I don't trust those people a ton because Perry Marshall gives the example of it's like someone that tunes a piano telling you how to play the piano. They're not necessarily skilled at that particular part of the piano. So I always, whenever I hear from Facebook or Google, I kind of take it with a grain of salt. But this particular rep gave me some great advice. They took a look at the campaign I was running, and they asked me, what is your goal with this campaign? And I said, really, we just need to collect as many quality email addresses as possible from our target audience because we know what our cost per lead should be, and we know what these leads are going to back out in, you know, a year from now, what they're going to be. And he said, okay, well, instead of sending them to a landing page, run Facebook lead ads. They're a newer ad unit. Essentially what happens is when someone's on Facebook and they see your ad, when they click on it, we already have their email address. All they have to do is click subscribe, and they're on your list. It's way simpler, and they trust a lot more than going to your landing page. And like I do with anything, I said, okay, great, thank you for the advice, and I went and tested it myself. And we went from, for example, on that particular campaign, we were getting, 10 to 15 opt-ins a day. It was our average, depending on the day of the week. Overnight, we got like 141 opt-ins, and that evened out over time to like 70 opt-ins a day on that list. There's a huge difference. And the difference was running a Facebook lead ad versus running Facebook ads to a landing page. And this is something where, again, I look at the Facebook gurus' courses, and they're all still talking about running traffic to pages, which still works, but I don't see a ton of people talking about Facebook lead ads and how valuable they are. And I got it straight from the horse's mouth at Facebook that, hey, you want to try this. And that particular piece of advice worked out very well. So if you're, again, a business that want to collect email addresses and you use Facebook, use the Facebook lead ad. It's kind of a hidden gem in that interface.
So that must have knocked your cost per email way down.
Oh, Ken, my client sent me an email and said, what did you do? We're getting flooded with inquiries. They said, what did you do? And I said, I don't quite know what I did. Let me look into it. And then I realized, oh, I turned on this Facebook lead ads. And then over time, it adjusted. Any Facebook campaign, if you get it right, it'll explode at first and kind of even out. But what I'll say is we're probably 5 or 6 months from that point now, and we're still getting consistently the amount of leads. It's a consistent cost per lead in Facebook. One, because of our targeting and knowing our audience, the offer was correct. But we make it really easy with that ad unit for them just to click two buttons, click on the ad, subscribe to the email list. And people just trust it because it's within Facebook's interface. You're not taking them to a third-party page where they're, a little unsure what's going on. So it's been gangbusters for us for building lists.
Well, anybody who uses Facebook just got a very valuable tip that they can test. All right, September.
So this is one, Ken, that I know you've dealt with and I've dealt with of, hey, I have these two pieces of software. I'd like for them to talk. I'd like for my data to be passed over without me having to copy and paste information back and forth. So usually what you have to do is hire an outsourcer and get them to move the data for you. This call was about a tool called Zapier, Z-A-P-I-E-R, Zapier.com. And for most common tools that you use out there, it allows you to set up moving data between tools without having to hire a programmer, because that's almost as much of a pain as working with an admin. So I'll give an example here. I use a tool called Stripe to collect people's credit cards to bill them. I would always love to have someone build and then put them into an autoresponder sequence as soon as I build them. And to normally do that, I have to hire a programmer to plug Stripe into my autoresponder, and sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't. It costs more money than I'd like to spend on that. Whereas with Zapier, I go in there and create something called a recipe. Someone subscribes on Stripe, okay. Over here, add them to this email list in my autoresponder. Great. Turn on Zap, and Zapier pushes the data from Stripe over to the autoresponder. And there's hundreds of these recipes you can do in Zapier. And it's just a huge time saver and a huge money saver to move data around. So in the call, I go more into the function of Zapier and kind of how to set it up and some more advanced use cases. But just, if you have VAs or you're working with programmers, really look at Zapier, because I was surprised at the amount of things it could do that just eliminated the need for a programmer or a VA.
How do you pay for it? Is it a monthly service? Is it?
Yeah, it's a monthly service, and essentially what happens is when you have a recipe that's running, you have each time the recipe runs, that's like a usage of, that's a zap is what they call it, and you get a set amount of zaps per month for the package. But it's very reasonable price per zap. And to give you an idea, compared to the cost of hiring a programmer for a couple hundred dollars an hour, you can have a zap running for several months before you cover that cost. So it was very reasonable for those little tasks where it's like, oh, I don't want to pay someone $200 an hour to write a script for me. I'll just pay, $20 a month to Zapier to have it set up for me.
Wow, awesome. I until you had mentioned this to me, I'd never heard of that. And what a great thing, because how often do we get stuck? We got to find someone to do that. And, even if you've got the funds to pay for it, sometimes just finding someone reliable to do it and getting it done takes a long time. So the fact that there's this service out there is amazing. So October
was an unusual tech talk. I talked about something I never talked about before, and it talked about using the phone in your business. And that sounds so old school for digital marketing, but man, I've learned this lesson a lot this year of so many businesses, there are elements, whether customer support or sales, where the phone is involved. And this year I was just exposed to some horrendous phone sales processes and some horrendous customer support phone processes. And I thought to myself, wow, how many other businesses out there are falling down on the job when it comes to the phone? How much money is this costing their business? Even in this day and age of automation and using things like Zapier, there's times when people still want to get on the phone with you. And tracking what's happening there, passing that data back to your advertising campaigns, but also just making it easier for people to interact with you on the phone can add a ton of money to your business. One of my healthcare clients, we were passing leads to them, and only a couple months later did we realize they were only following up on the phone with 25% of the total leads we'd sent them, meaning there was 75% of their potential revenue just sitting there rotting because they weren't calling them on the phone and they weren't using the proper phone procedure. And there's a lot of businesses like that where if they would just improve their phone system a little bit, their revenue would go way up.
Nice. Yeah, the phone, very powerful medium, but you got to use it to get the benefit.
And it sounds so simple, but I've listened to so many hours of recordings this year, and just simple things like this. Here's just a quick pro tip I share in the tech talk. If you have customer service or sales on the phone, and part of your process is someone can request a callback and you can call them at a specific time, the first words out of your mouth should be, "Hello, this is Andy with so-and-so company. Is now a good time and place to talk about X?" Reason why is, I found this in medicine, but I found this in other areas as well. When you get people becoming angry with you on the phone when you do a callback, the reason usually why is it's not a good time. They're busy. They had something come up. Or they're in a place where they can't speak, and you'd be surprised how often that occurs. They can't speak freely about what they wanted a callback about, especially in medicine.
Sure.
That phrase right there, put that at the top of your phone script on a callback, and you're going to get much more people that are at least say, oh, now's not a good time, call me back later, or yes, now is a good time, and they appreciate that you asked that permission, and then you can move into what you're supposed to do. That's a pro tip I've learned the hard way.
Yeah, that is funny. It's such a little thing, but I learned that from a very skilled telephone person. His job was to get appointments with CEOs, which is a hard thing to do, right? Because they've got gatekeepers.
Absolutely.
And they're very busy, and people would hire him. And he had a great English accent, and he was very polite, and he was just very good on the phone. But the thing that he taught us to say was always, is this a good time? First thing. And if it's not, you can reschedule on the fly. Or you can just, if they can't even deal with that, you can just call them back later. And you will be their friend as opposed to a welcome guest instead of an annoying pest.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It seems trite to say that. The people are like, well, of course that makes sense to say that. But you'd be surprised when you don't say that, what happens. That's what I found out was, okay, let's try it. When we say that, let's try it without saying that, and just totally different results.
Yeah, because some people will blow up instantly, you know, and let you know. Other people, you know, they're polite, and they won't blow up immediately. They'll just start steaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will blow up eventually. So give them the out. Make sure that you've got a clear field, and that they can calmly. And that's sort of, it's sort of selling 101, that nobody can deal with your presentation if they're not in a calm, uninterrupted place. But so again, it's basic, but it's easy to forget. And yeah, boy, if you have got a good phone voice, or you know somebody who does, a lot of it just boils down to manners, you know, being considerate, listening. That's the other big phone secret that this expert taught us, was to actually listen to what people said. And it seems so obvious, and yet you can come across lots and lots of examples. I'm trying to think of one that I can share. I had an experience where I had to go to an emergency room recently, and it involved my vision. I was having trouble with my vision. And the guy had to ask me three times what the issue was, you know, which was annoying at all by itself. And then he handed me this form that was in, like, you know, 6-point type. And I said, I just told you, I just told you three times I'm having trouble with my vision. How can I read this thing, you know? So don't be that guy. Be the
now
guy.
Now you know why I'm working in healthcare, Ken, because that is more the rule than the exception, what you experience. Like, that's why I even have a business in healthcare marketing, because of that attitude right there. Oh, you're having trouble with your vision. Maybe I shouldn't hand you a 6-point font form. Maybe I should do something else. That right there.
Right. It's mad. It's just mad. But that's how it is. So where are we now? Are we in December yet?
We are in November. We're in last month's call that I did a week ago or so. This call was about Google Analytics, and it was spurred by a client of mine requesting that I build a system in healthcare, basically close the loop. We've talked about attribution thus far, and they actually want to spend the money to do it. And I found out that Google is slowly but surely building an all-encompassing tool set to kind of take over several different parts of digital marketing. So you're talking earlier, Ken, about the Adobe Marketing Cloud. Essentially, Google's moving into that space. They're moving into the conversion rate optimization space. They're making a big play. And their play is around something called Google Analytics 360. Now, that itself is an enterprise offering. But Google Analytics, as we know, is their free version of that offering. And they have a lot of features in there that even the experienced analytics person I found doesn't know about because there's just so many features, but a lot of valuable data that can be gathered about your business. So as I said at the top of the call, you know, in November, December, I'm kind of ending where I started the year in January about attribution, because Google Analytics is that tool that's going to allow you to track all those things, and it's free. So there's no excuse for anyone not to use it. It's just a matter of then understanding how to use it or finding someone to help you use it. So in that particular tech talk, I go into specific reports. I actually go through each section of Google Analytics, and I explain what each section does. So that's a good call to listen to. If you're interested in doing this attribution thing, if you're interested in making your business more efficient, but you just don't know the tactics of it, that particular tech talk is very valuable.
Great. Great. So we've covered the year, the 2016 in review. And every month, Andy does a detailed Tech Talk call on a specific topic. And he names names, talks about tools, talks about methods, talks about what works, what doesn't work, what to avoid, what to make sure that you do. He talks about the positive and negative of each tool, because no tool is perfect. And it's better to know going in that, okay, this thing does A, B, C, and D. It's not so good on F, G, and H. Okay, so I got to just be prepared for that. And that's extremely helpful in going forward. It's also extremely helpful in that there's no commissions, there's no affiliate commissions involved here. He's not anybody's friend. He's not doing anybody a favor. He's actually just in a very unbiased way and from his own experience using the tools, talking about them and how they work. And again, if you've been listening, you know it's not just the tool. There's the method behind the tool. And just having the tool in your hand is not enough. Sometimes, I mean, you need to also know the right way to use it and things to avoid. Now, Andy, we didn't prepare this end part, but and I should have asked you before we started the recording, but do you take clients these days? I know you're pretty busy.
Sure.
These days I'm
pretty tied up in the healthcare space, just because big healthcare conglomerates are horrible at digital marketing, is what I'll say, and I'm knee deep in untangling their messes and getting their digital marketing strategies in order. So at this moment, I'm not taking on any what I would call retainer clients. I have had people come to me for just like one-off consulting type things, and I kind of fit that into my schedule as I can. Because what I find sometimes is they don't need me long term. They just need me to clarify an issue in about 45 minutes to an hour with them, and then I save them a bunch of money, or they know they don't need to do something then. So I do have some time for that. But as far as longer term retainer clients, I don't have the bandwidth right now. But like I said, one-off consulting can be useful if someone's kind of unsure of what to do, which is most people at some point in time when it comes to digital marketing.
We can all use it. So if you're a serious person and you've got a serious business and you're stuck on something and you just want to go over strategy with Andy, you know, are you using the right tools? Are you using them the right way? Those kinds of things. He's available. You might have to wait a little bit, you know, when he's got some breathing room, because believe me, he and I talk back and forth about his healthcare clients, and they are demanding. It's one of those things. They're a great client source in a sense, because they're huge, they got a lot of money, they have, and their needs are endless. But they're also, you know, big bureaucratic organizations. So not only does he have to deliver the service, he's got to deal with the bureaucratic side. So it keeps him busy. But if you think that you just need to just go over things with somebody to just get some clarity, how would people get in touch with you?
Sure. The best email address for me is andy@andygreen.com, and I'll just spell it out because my last name does have an E on the end of it. So it's andy@andygreen.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And just, you know, just in the subject line, just put Tech Talk, because when I see that, I know it's someone that's been on one of these calls. So I always try and respond quickly to them.
Great. And, you know, be patient. It may take him a little while to get back to you, but he does always get back eventually. And as you can tell from this call, he's got a real depth and breadth of experience and knowledge about the mechanics of our industry. Just to take this full circle, there's no shortage of theory out there in the world. There's no shortage of woo-woo success stories. There's a dire shortage of just practical nuts and bolts. No nonsense, no bias, mechanical and methodological conversation. It just doesn't occur that much in our industry, which is a shame. But Andy's out there. He does Tech Talk every month, and I would recommend that you take advantage of Tech Talk. So, Andy, have a great year. We're looking forward to another year at Tech Talk. Every year that you're able to do it again, I never take it for granted. I always count my blessings that you're doing it. I hope you get as much out of it, or at least something close to what we get out of it.
I'm always glad to do it, Ken, because, you know, I'll be doing it, and I'll get an email from someone and say, "Hey, Andy, I listened to your Tech Talk from 4 months ago, but it saved me a couple $100 on a tool." You know, those are the type of, that's why I do that, just because I know how many charlatans there are out there and how much bad information there is. So if I can provide a contrarian but, you know, reasoned voice against that, that's why I enjoy doing this.
Well, I bet hundreds of dollars is a small case. I'm sure that you've saved some people thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, because these tool bills can add up fast, and also wasted time. Time, you know, depends on how old you are, but, you know, the older you are, the more you realize that time really truly is your only asset. You know, everything else can be recovered. If you spend 3 months or 6 months going down a blind alley that could have been turned around in an hour phone call, wow. I mean, that's a huge gain if you can avoid that kind of a thing. And we've all been there. We've all had the blinders on, not gotten an informed second opinion, and wasted time and money and energy too. I mean, you don't, how much energy do you have to keep whacking away at something? It's better to get your ducks lined up in a row and get it the first or second time, as opposed to, you know, having to go through it 3, 4, or 5 times before you finally get it right. So, Andy, you're a great resource. We're glad to have you around, and Merry Christmas to you. I know it's a little early, but Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
You too, Ken. I'm looking forward to the new year.